So we are holding on Hufchess Ahmed Beys, the third to last line of the narrow lines, a line of
Hafez Ahmed
Intelmachta.
Bey.
Hufchess Ahmed Beys is the third to last of the narrow lines. The line begins Lamatkan. Okay, we're in the middle of discussing. We mentioned in the Mishnah that you could we mentioned in the Mishnah about the foods that you can make an Eruv with, an Eruv Tchumen, and according to Rashi, also Eruv Chatzeres. Hello. And we were going through various kinds of foods. We started going through certain kinds of foods, whether you can or can't use them for an Eruv. And that in turn led us into, there's a number of different areas in Halacha where you have a where you have a definition of what's considered food for a certain purpose and what's not. You have, aside from Eruv, you also have the question, is it considered food as far as being Mekabel Terumah? Is it considered food as far as that it's that you can buy it with Maaser Sheni money, as we learned yesterday? We have a limud from a pasuk about there are only certain things that you can buy with Maaser Sheni money. Hello. And you have also the question of whether something is considered food as far as that it's chayev in Maaser or not. So you have like a plus also you have the question of to what extent what's the din of something as far as whether as far as whether you'd make the bracha hadama on it or the shackle. Technically, one, I don't have a seat. So we're in the middle of that discussion. So again, Chof Chesam Adbeis, the third from the third to last of the narrow lines. Omamar, so we said before, we brought before Braisa, a mission actually. Rav Yehuda Kur Hareu. Now we had the Tanakhama in that Mishnah had said that heart of palm, you're allowed to buy it with Maaser Sheni money. It is considered food to that extent, even though right now it's not really edible. The Gemara is going to say soon that you have to cook it. So it's slightly. So now the thing we have to realize with heart of palm is, first of all, right now as it stands, when you pick it off the tree, you could maybe just barely eat it, but it's really you need to cook it in order for it to be edible, as we're going to say in a second. And you also have the concern that if you leave it to develop on the tree, it is eventually going to grow hard and it's going to become wood, and therefore you wouldn't be able to eat it at all. So the Tanakhama of that Mishnah had said that you're still allowed to buy it with Maaser Sheni money, because the fact is it does grow from the ground. It does fit the criteria we said before. It is pre-mi-pri. It grows from a tree which grew from a previous tree, etc. It is gedulei karka. It does grow from the ground. So you can buy it with Maaser Sheni money. But the Tanakhama had said it doesn't become tamei like food does, because it's not considered food. Then we had Rabbi Yehuda saying that it's considered like that heart of palm is considered like wood for all purposes, with the exception that you can buy it with kesef meiser. So the question is, so Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a kur hareu ka'etz l'chol dvarav. So Rabbi Yehuda says that kur, heart of palm, is like wood for all purposes in halacha. Elosh nikach b'kesef meiser, with the exception that you're allowed to buy it with meiser sheni money. So the question is, hainu tanakama? Isn't Rabbi Yehuda basically just saying the same thing as the tanakama? What's the tanakama is also saying that you can buy it with meiser sheni, but it's not matame tumas ochlin. In other words, which amounts to saying that it doesn't really have the din of food, but on the other hand, it does as far as Maaser Sheni. Rabbi Yehuda is saying the same thing. The answer is Omar Abaya, Shokoi v'tignoi ikabenayu. The answer is Abaya says the argument between them would be, what if you cooked the heart of palm for a long time, or you fried it? Now that makes it, cooking it for a long time or frying it makes it edible. So therefore now Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's considered like wood for all purposes, with the exception that you can buy it with Maaser Sheni, he says, I don't care about the fact that you cooked or fried it. The fact of the matter is, it's still basically considered wood. So it's still not metame as food, and it still doesn't have the other dinim of food, with the exception, because the fact it is pre-mi-pri v'gedulei karka, and it is edible, therefore you can buy it with Maaser Sheni money. As opposed to the Tanakhama would say, that no, the Tanakhama never said that that heart of palm is considered like wood. So as far as the Tanakhama is concerned, once you cook it or fry it, then good. Then it would become tamei like any other food. However, maskifla Rava, but Rava asks on that, mi ikalamando ama shoka vitigno loy. Is there any opinion that would say that if you cooked or fried the heart of palm, it wouldn't be considered food? Yeah, we learn in a brisa about a different kind of thing which normally is not eaten, but in this case, it can be made edible. Ha'erva hashulya, the skin of an animal, or the placenta of an animal, ein metamin tumas ochlin, those are not metame as food because they're not normally eaten. But if you took the skin and boiled it until you got it to be soft enough to be able to eat, or you took a placenta. Now the placenta itself is soft. You don't really need to cook it. You don't really need to cook it to make it edible. But what you do need is to have a machshava about it, because otherwise it's something fairly disgusting and most people wouldn't eat it. So as long as you had a machshava about it, shechishav aleha, that you had in mind about it, that you're going to eat it, then metamin tuma sochlin, then do become tamei. So we see that even leather, even the skin of an animal, which is something very tough, and it's not normally something eaten at all, but if you actually cook it, if you do a maisa to it, to cook it for a long time, then it is metamin tuma sochlin. Why should heart or palm be any different, even according to Rabbi Yehuda? So Rava says, no, you're right. The actual argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim wouldn't be as far as Tumas Eichlin. It's true, if you cooked it or fried it or whatever, then it would be. Then it would be Matama Tumas Eichlin. The question is as far as the Bracha. Do you say on it Ha'adama or Shehakol? De'itmar. So we have a discussion of Amiroim like that. Kur, Rav Yehuda, which is the Amora Rav Yehuda, Amar Bora Priha Dama, or Shmuel Amar Shahakol Nir Bedvare. So basically, this would be the same machlokas as the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakama would say you say ha'adam on it, because right now it's edible, especially after you fried it or boiled it or whatever. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, would take the view that we're still saying ha'reo ka'etz l'chol dvarav, it's considered like wood. Okay, you made it edible. That still doesn't mean that it has any other bracha other than shakol. So here we have the same machlokas of among the Amoraim, where Rav Yehuda, the Amora, says it's Bora Priha Dama, and Shmuel would say it's Shakol. Why? Rav Yehuda, I'm a Bora Priha Dama Oichlohu, because the fact is, it is food. You can eat the heart of palm, so therefore it's like any other food, and therefore you would say Hadama on it. Or Shmuel, I'm a Shakol. Now, you wouldn't say Ha'etz on it, though, because it's not the primary product of the tree, and because... as the Gemara is going to say in a second, you don't plant a palm tree having in mind to eat the heart of palm. So therefore, it's like you have a general rule we talked about in Brachas that the primary product of a tree gets hates. The secondary products we talked about, for example, in connection with a plant called slaf. Capers in English, where the fruit itself is ha'et, but you have certain other things. You have the soft ends of the branches that can be eaten. You have the buds, you have whatever, and those get ha'adama. So here it would be the same idea. So you'd say ha'adama on it. Or shmolam ha'shahakal ni'abidvarei, kivin shasofer lahakshos, because since eventually it's going to become hard, and then it wouldn't be edible at all, because then it's just like the rest of the wood of the tree. Because you don't plant it for that. It's not going to be ha'etz because it's not the primary product of the tree. You're taking it from a tree, but nevertheless, no. So the maximum it could be, we'll talk about in a second what the halacha is nowadays. Nowadays, it's slightly different, but wait. Anyway, Shmuel says, shahakol nir bedvarei, kivin shesofer lahakshos, because since it's going to become hard and it's going to become a completely inedible piece of wood, so even now you can't say ha'adama on it, even now when it's soft, because the fact it is, it is basically wood. It just right now happens to be wood which is soft. And Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, shinina, sharp one, or big toothed one, as we've had in many places in Shas. It was Shmuel's nickname for his Talmud Rav Yehuda. Kavasich mistabra. It's logical to say, even though I say that it's shakol, I can understand the logic behind your position. Because after all, consider the case of a radish. A radish also, if you let it grow in the ground, eventually is going to become hard and inedible. And yet, we say adama on a radish. So the same thing should be true as far as this heart of palm. However, the Gemara says Velohi, that's actually not a valid comparison, because the difference is tsnoin, not the inchia daita the fugla. Because the difference is people plant radishes with the intention of eating them when they're still soft. Fugla means a young radish. So they actually have that in mind when they plant them. As opposed to dikla, like not the inchia daita de kura. People don't plant a palm tree intending to eat the kur, intending to eat the heart of palm, especially because actually taking out the heart of palm damages the tree. It causes it. Basically, you have to think of it. We're talking about a date palm tree or other closely related species like that. The heart of palm basically is it's the bud from which the new branches of the tree are going to grow. Like you have the lulav, the new branch of that year or that season or whatever is going to grow from that. You take that out, therefore, so that the tree is not going to grow any more branches and eventually it's going to die. So if you eat a heart of palm, it's not something you planted the tree for to begin with. Therefore, it can't be hadama. So 1 second, I'll explain that. But afagav de kalsi Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. So even though Shmuel praised Rabbi Yehuda's logic, that Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's hadama, and Shmuel agreed it should be similar to a radish. Nevertheless, since the Gemara is pointing out it's not actually a valid comparison, hilchsa kavasei de Shmuel, the halacha is like Shmuel that you would say shakol on it. Now, what about nowadays? So nowadays you can buy hearts of palm in the store. A big difference is that nowadays they harvest them from trees that are grown specifically for that purpose. They don't get them from date palms, because again, you have the same problem that you're going to kill the tree by taking it. There are other species of palms. There are other species and varieties of palms where they have multiple things on top of them, and therefore you can take off one heart without killing the rest of the tree. And they cultivate a type of palm specifically for that purpose. So therefore, so the poskim nowadays say, therefore, so that goes back to, so it would be hadama. You even have some poskim, I think I've seen that Rav Heinemann, for example, says it should be ha'etz, because those trees are primarily grown for the heart of palm nowadays. They do produce an actual fruit, but the actual fruit itself, you can buy it, I guess, in specialty stores, but it's not the main thing that people get from that palm. So he argues that it would be ha'etz. Most other poskim say that it would be hadama. So the kind of palms we're talking about now that they grow harder palm from, they grow tall like regular palm trees. You still have to go up and collect the harder palm from the top of it. So that's the thing. So it's definitely not shakol anymore, because now we don't have the logic of the Gemara that they don't plant it for that purpose. The question is, would it still be hadama, because the fact is it's not the fruit of the tree, it's a different part of the tree, or would it be ha'etz, according to Rav Heinemann, because the fact is that you do plant these trees having in mind specifically to harvest the hearts of palm from them. The velt holds that they're hadama, and after all, the halacha is if you have a suffix about something, whether to say ha'etz or hadama, you say hadama. So that would be the practical thing to do. Yeah. Okay. The lulav, I think, grows either from the heart of palm or like next to it or something. So that's the thing. So you have some palm trees, like date palms, which is what we get lulavim from, where you have only one lulav grows on it, and then you have eventually that branch matures and the leaves spread apart, and then the next season another one grows and so forth. And then you have trees like these, it's called a peach palm, that they get these heart of palm from, where they have it grows multiple lulavim in a year. I don't think those lulavim would be kosher for sukkahs, because they have to be from kapis tmarim, they have to be the branch of a date palm tree, and these aren't date palms, these are a different kind of palm. Same reason why you couldn't use a branch from a coconut tree or something. Those are also palms, but the definition in halacha and the definition in the scientific definition are two different things. But yeah, okay, onward. Kapis means the branch. Kapis means the closed branch, tmarim, of a date palm. Yeah. Gufa. Okay, getting back to something we said before, we learned yesterday. Amar of Yehuda Amarav, Kshus v'chozes ma'arvin behen. We said you're allowed to make an Eruv Tchumin, and again, according to Rashi, Eruv Chatzeres, and also Shituf Mavoyas. All these halachas, by the way, are brought in the Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch in connection with Shituf Mavoyas. So again, we said you have Eruv Chatzeres to be able to carry in your Chatzer. You have Shituf Mavoyas, where all the Chatzeres join together to be able to carry in the Mavoy. And then you have Eruv Tchumin. In the Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch, they give so here in the Gemara, we're just saying Bakol Ma'arvin or Mishtatfin, we started talking about Eruv and then Shituf. In the Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch, the dinim of Eruv and the dinim of Shituf come before the dinim of Eruv Tchumen. So therefore, when they talk about these dinim, about what you can use and how much of each you need to use, they put them in the halachas of Shituf. The same halachas would apply to Eruv Tchumen, though. Okay, anyway. So Rabbi Yehuda had said in the name of Rab that you're able to make an Eruv with Kshus, which we said was a parasitic plant that grows on bushes and whatever, and then they take it and they use it in making beer. And you're allowed to make an Eruv with Chozes, which is wheatgrass. So we said in the end that there's a certain kind. We said there's a kind that grows, that's cultivated in gardens. So that kind is normal to eat, as opposed to the regular kind we said, or they only eat in Bavel, and even they bottle a Daitan. So we said you can make an Eruv with them, and you would say Hadama on them. So now we have to figure out how much of each one do we need. The basic rule is that for an Eruv Tchumen, you need, for an Eruv Tchumen, or for a Shittuf Mavoyis, if you have relatively few people in the Mavoy, then you need 2 sudas worth of food for each one. So if we're talking about bread, for example, then it's very simple. It's just the amount of bread that you'd eat with 2 meals. But if you're talking about other kinds of things, the basic idea is it's the amount of that food that you would eat together with 2 meals. Lalapas bayas apas is the expression in the Gemara and in the Poskim, that you would use to dip or to accompany the bread. You don't just eat bread by itself. You eat it together with some other kind of accompaniment. So that's the general rule. So now we have to figure out for specific kinds of foods how much that comes out to be. By the way, it's an interesting thing. The Orez Aruah points out, so if the point of an Eruv Tchumen, again, we said, is that where your food is, it's considered that's your home base for Shabbos. So in that case, on Shabbos, you're supposed to eat 3 meals. Why don't we say you have to have 3 meals worth of food? Why only 2? He says, because practically speaking, if you make an Eruv Tchumen, you don't usually go out Shabbos night. You usually go out only during the day. So by that point, you've already eaten one of your Shabbos meals. Fine. So how much? The answer, so kshus bekama. So the question is, how much kshus would you need for an Eruv? So the answer is, kida omer Rabbi Yechiel, kimloy hayad, as we find Rabbi Yechiel says in a couple of lines in the Gemara about a different kind of thing, that the amount would be a handful, hochanami kimloy hayad. So the answer with kshus would be the same thing. A handful of it is enough to make an Eruv tchumen with. But pashtus, I guess if you're eating, that would be enough for 2 meals. In other words, the idea is you don't eat very much kshus at any one time. If you're going to eat it, it's just going to be a tiny little thing that you eat together, that you eat together with bread, that you eat together with a meal. So it doesn't matter. The fact that it's enough to be, that you could make 2 meals out of it is enough. So hochanami kim layayad. So the same thing over here, a handful of kshus is enough. What about choses bekama? How much of this choses, of this wheatgrass, would be valid for an Eruv Tchumen? Amar Rav, Bar Tuvia, Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Kimloy Uzilta De'ikri. The size of the standard bundle that farmers make. When farmers are bundling up this choses to sell in the market or whatever, they had a standard size bundle of it that they would make in those days. So that size bundle is the size you'd need for an Eruv Tchumen. It could be a lot, I don't know. We don't know anything yet. Amr of Chilki Bar Tuvia, Ma'arvin Bekalia. Here's another deal. Really?
Want a glass of water?
No, I'm good, thanks. Ma'arvin Bekalia. You're able to make an Eruv with Kalia. Rashi explains that Kalia is a kind of grass that's very hard. So Rashi doesn't specify what it is. It could be something like bamboo or something, but you're able to make an Eruv with it. On the bottom over here, it brings an explanation from the Aruch that Kalia is a kind of plant that you burn it and make soap out of it. There's certain kinds of plants that have certain kinds of plants that have soap-like materials in them, and you burn them and you use the ashes of them are useful as a kind of soap. In the olden days, that is one of the ways they would make soap. So the Gemara says, but Kalia sakudai dechum. What do you mean? How can you possibly make an Eruv with Kalia? According to Rashi, it's too tough to eat. And according to the Aruch, you make soap out of it. And you can't eat soap. Ela b'yauka de Kalia. No, what we mean is the greenery of the Kalia. So in other words, the Kalia itself may be hard, but the green leaves of it are soft. Or it could mean when it's green, when it's still young and fresh. According to the Aruch, same idea. Before you burn it to make the soap, it is in principle edible. So therefore, you could make an Eruv with it. V'kama, how much of it would you need? Again, Amar Rav Yechiel kimloy hayad, a handful. Okay. Another case, Rabbi Yirmiya Nafak L'Kiryasa. Rabbi Yirmiya one time went out to the villages because he had grain growing over there and he wanted to check on how it's developing. Bo Mine, so while he was there, the villagers asked him, Mahu La'arav B'pulin Lachin, are you allowed to make an Eruv with fresh beans? Now the question is like this: if they were dried and not cooked, then there's no question you can't make an eruv with them because they're not edible right now. You'd have to cook them first. So I forgot, by the way, when we finished the part about Tumas Oichlin and whatever. So we have to summarize. So we have four or five different dinim that where we have to figure out, is something considered a food or not for purposes of that din, and the criteria are slightly different for each one. So when it comes to Tumas Oichlin, the rule is it has to be something which is edible. With Eruv Tchumen is similar. So with Eruv Tchumen, it has to be edible right now. If it's not something that's edible right now, even though it could be cooked, you can't use it for an Eruv Tchumen because it has to be Soda Haroya. For Tumas Oichlin, the rules are a little more lax. It could be something that needs a little bit of preparation to make it edible, and then it would still be Metamet Tumas Oichlin. On the other hand, when it comes to the other things, when it comes to can you buy it with Maiser Sheni money, and is it Chayev and Maiser, then we have other criteria. To buy with Maiser Sheni, it doesn't even need to be edible right now. As long as it was pre-Gedulei Karka, then you can buy it. So for example, there's no question, for example, that you'd be able to buy dried beans with Maiser Sheni money, because you have to cook them, but fine, that for Maiser Sheni purposes, that doesn't matter. It also doesn't matter if it's not Gmar Pere, if it's not a mature fruit. As far as buying with Maiser Sheni, that's why we said yesterday that you were able to buy kafnius, these unripe dates, with it, for example. On the other hand, when it comes to is it Chayv and Maiser, then we have to see, is it Gmar Pere? Is it actually a completely developed thing, or has it, at least for this particular thing, has it reached the maximum development it's going to reach? So we said yesterday that kafnius, for example, you have the ones from the male trees versus the female trees, where the male ones aren't going to develop any further, the female ones are going to develop into dates, and therefore the male ones would be, we had Rabbi Yehuda saying they're potter from Maiser because he considers they're still not complete yet, and the Chum saying they're Chayev in Maiser because they consider them complete. But so as far as Maiser, it depends whether it's Gmar Peire. It doesn't matter whether right now it's edible, but it does have to be Gmar Peire. So, and then you have, as far as Brachos, the rule basically is, is it something that people normally eat, and is it something that was planted for that purpose? For Eruvin, we're saying that it has to be something that's edible right now. So again, unlike Tumas Oichlin and unlike a number of these other dinim, where we don't even, for example, we said as far as Hora Palm, it's not really edible right now when you take it off the tree. You have to cook it, you have to fry it or whatever. It can still be so we still said, actually, it's still not Matame Tumas Oichlin, because the fact is right now it's not edible, and because Soifa Lahakshoi. So it's not something, the point is, in other words, rather, when it comes to Tumas Oichlin, it's not something that is meant to be, that's usually designated to be eaten. Again, nowadays, if they harvest them specifically for that purpose, it might be different, but in those times where it was just an incidental thing that you got from a tree that's going to, let's say a tree that's going to die anyway, or a tree that you wanted to kill off anyway, so therefore it's not something that's lachatchila meant to be eaten, because if you let it develop, then it's going to become hard like wood, and the only way to make it edible even to begin with is by cooking and frying it a lot, so therefore it wouldn't be matame Tumas Oichlin. Gris and Shalpul, yeah. So now let's get back to the part of the Gemara where we're at now, at the bottom of the Yamun. So pool is bean, is a certain kind of bean or pea or whatever. So the question is, are you allowed to make, so the pastures, we're not talking about peas like the kind that you buy in the store now, because those you can eat raw, no question about it. The question, I guess, would be, so pool over here in the Gemara, the pastures means some more like a certain kind of bean. Like you have, yeah. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, so the question is, are you allowed to make an Eruv with fresh ones? So again, the question is, if they were dry and not cooked, then there's no question you can't, because right now they're not edible, and you need Soda Haroya. But since they're fresh, some people will eat them that way, but most people will cook them first. So Loi Haba B'Yadeh, he didn't know the answer. Ki Osel Be Medrash, or when Rabbi Yirmiya came to this Medrash, Omru Loi Hochi Omer Rabbi Yanai, Ma'avin B'Pul and Lachin. Yes, you're allowed to make the Eruv with fresh beans. Okay, the Kama, and how many of that do you need? Again, Omer Rabbi Yechiel Kim Loi Hayad, so again Rabbi Yechiel says the amount that was a handful. Okay. Omer Rav Hamnuna, another kind of vegetable, let's talk about, Rav Hamnuna says, Ma'avin B'Trodin Chayin. You're allowed to make an Eruv with fresh trudin. Trudin means either beets or spinach. They're very closely related plants. So it's not always, in modern Hebrew, they use the word tered to mean spinach. In the Gemara, it seems that trudin usually means beets. Anyway, so you're allowed to make an Eruv with, let's call them beets then. You're allowed to make an Eruv with fresh beets. Well, right. So, yeah, it's... We're talking about the root of pastures. Yeah. So the question is, Eini, is that so? V'ha'amar Rav Chista silka chaya koto gavra chaya. Rav Chista says that raw silka, raw beets, can kill a live person. In other words, they're not safe to eat when they're raw. So if they're not good to eat, then how can you make an Eruv with them? The answer is, ahuba boshel v'lay boshel. That's talking about when they're dangerous is when they're only partially cooked. So then they're dangerous for you. So then, yeah, you can't make an Eruv with them partially cooked. The Rambam actually learns that this thing about boshel v'lay boshel is not just about beets, but vegetables in general. The Rambam learns you can make an Eruv with fresh vegetables. You can make an Eruv with fully cooked vegetables, but not with ones that are only half cooked. Yeah. Ikadamri, Amar of Hamnuna, another version of the discussion goes that Rav Hamnuna says, Ein ma'avin betrodin chayin. The first version was Rav Hamnuna said you could use raw beets. And we said raw beets are dangerous. The answer is they're not. Only if they're half cooked are they dangerous. The second version is that Rav Hamnuna says, Ein ma'avin betrodin chayin, that you're not allowed to make an Eruv with fresh beets. The Amar of Chista Silka Chaya Kato Gavra Chaya. As we see there, Rav Chista says that raw beets are dangerous and can kill even a live and healthy person. So the question is, V'hokahazin and D'ka'ach Levelai Maisi. We see people do eat raw beets and they don't die from it. The answer is Hosima Boshel Le Boshel. The answer is that Rav Chista is talking about when they're only partially cooked, that's when they're dangerous for you. But if they're raw, then they're okay. Yeah. Okay. In this connection, so I don't know. I mean, Nishanu Ativim to a certain extent. I don't know. I haven't. I don't know anybody who ate partially cooked beets and lived to tell about it. But I also don't know anybody who didn't live to tell about it. You know. So yeah, I don't know. Okay. Amar Rav Chista. So in this connection, Rav Chista says Tav Shoshal Trudin Yafal Alei V'Tov Leinayim. A cooked dish of beets is good for your heart and good for your eyes. V'Chol Shekem Livnei Me'ayim, and all the more so, it's good for your stomach. Amar Abaya, but Abaya says it depends how thoroughly cooked it is. V'hudi yosiv abei tafi, that works only, it's only healthy for you if you put it on the stove where you put a pot up to boil and you cook it thoroughly. V'ovid tuch tuch, and it gets cooked so much that it makes a sound like you have sometimes when something is bubbling on the stove. It makes a sound tuch tuch. So then you know it's thoroughly cooked, and then you know it's good for you. Okay. It wasn't really a kavachoma, but we're saying that these cooked beets are good for your heart and good for your eyes, and all the more so for your stomach. Because most foods, you know, it's not really a kavachoma, but I guess the idea is most foods they might not be good. Most foods are okay for your stomach. They might not be good for some other parts of your body. Here, if we're saying it's good for your eyes and for your heart, then it must be good for your stomach as well. Could be. I don't know. All right. Amar Rava, Hareini kiben Azai b'shukei Tveria. One time Rava said, I'm like Ben Azai in the streets of Tveria, meaning Rava was in a good mood that day. So he says, now Ben Azai was known to be very sharp in Torah. He knew everything into Oikohorim. He was an Oikohorim. He knew how to figure out anything in Torah. So one day, Rava was in a good mood. He says to his Talmidim, I feel today like Ben Azib, Shuk Tveria, like I'm ready to take on anybody who will ask me a question in Torah that I can answer it. So one of the Rabbanon asked Rava, Tapuchim Bakama, when it comes to an Eruv, how much apples do you need in order to make an Eruv? Omer Lei, so Rava answers him, V'chim Avin v'tapochim, are you b'chlal able to make an Eruv with apples? Now, why not? What would be the problem with apples? So there's three explanations among the Rishonim. Tosfos earlier in the Perek explains that Rava knew, of course Rava knew that you can make an Eruv with apples. He wanted to test this guy and see if he's going to come up with a valid proof that you can use apples for an Eruv, as in fact, we're going to go through the discussion now in the Gemara. Tosfos also mentions over there, but doesn't like, an explanation that maybe we're talking about here about wild apples. Maybe domesticated, cultivated apples, sure, there'd be no problem, same as all the other foods we mentioned so far, but maybe wild apples would be different. Tosfos themselves doesn't like that explanation, but there are other Rishonim who learn that that's what it means. And then a third possibility that Rashba says is maybe Rava held, you can only make an Eruv with something which is part of the actual meal itself. So all the things we mentioned so far, you eat them by themselves sometimes, you might make a meal of just them by themselves, or you eat them together with bread. Apples are neither, you eat them for dessert. So maybe that would be a different kind of thing. Okay. So the Gemara says, Veloy. So what do you mean? Why shouldn't you? So according to the third one, it would come out, yeah, that he was mistaken. Yeah. So the Gemara says, "V'loy, what do you mean? No, you can't use apples for an eruv." V'hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah, "Kola oichlan mitstayfin lifsal sagvia b'chatzi pras." All foods, and apples are food, do combine together. As far as that, if a person eats food that is tamei, then his body becomes tamei, and he can't eat truma until he goes to the mikveh. It's a din d'rabbanan. The Gemara discusses it in the first parak of Shabbos. The chatzi pras, if he ate a half a pras of it, so a pras is, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, that a pras is the size of 3 or 4 eggs, as we're going to discuss the details of how we calculate it. So a half a pras would be half of that, 1.5 or 2 eggs worth. So the Chachamim made a gzera that if a person eats food that is tameh, then he himself becomes tameh, and he has to go to the mikveh before he can eat truma. So all foods, including apples, combined to that. All foods combined together as far as making up the two meals for an Eruv. And all foods combined together to a kabetza to be metame other food. It's a machlokas, a rishonim, whether food itself to become tame, whether you need a kabetza or not, or whether even a smaller amount of food in one place can become tame. But everybody agrees that to be metame other food, you need a kabetza. And the Mishnah is saying that this applies to all foods. So apples are a food, so therefore they should, and the Mishnah said that they can be used towards an Eruv, so they should be able to be used. So the Gemara says, so what? So what kind of a question is that? You're going to say, because it mentioned all foods, and you're going to say, okay, apples can be eaten, so therefore they have to be in that rule. So what? We learned at the beginning of the parak, we already have Rabbi Yechanan telling us that just because we have a general rule in a Mishnah, even when it says an exception, doesn't mean that everything is included. There might be things that are excluded that the Mishnah didn't bother mentioning. So maybe the Mishnah means most foods can be used for an Eruv and are mitzvah for these various purposes, but apples not. So there's no proof from that Mishnah that you can use apples for an Eruv. No. No, the reason is because the Mishnah mentions together, side by side, the two meals for an Eruv and the Kabetza to be Matame Tumas Oichlin. So the fact that it puts it together implies that whatever would be subject to the Dinim of Tumas Oichlin, which includes apples, is able to be used for an Eruv. So the fact that it's together, the Mishnah had begun with Mitztarf and Lifsol Sagvia, which implies already that they're Metame Tumas Oichlin. So the fact that it repeats it again together with Eruv implies that there's a connection between them. Anything that's Metame Tumas Oichlin, it can be used for an Eruv. So apples are in that category. So, and therefore, Vahani Nami Bnei Tamoya Tumas Oichlin Inu. Apples can become Tamei Tumas Oichlin, so therefore they should be able to be used for an Eruv. So yes, according to the various explanations, so again, according to Tosfos' explanation, Rava knew all along that you can make an Eruv with apples. He was just testing this guy, and he passed the test because he was able to find a valid proof that you can use apples for an Eruv. According to the second explanation, Rava may have only been talking about wild apples, but domesticated apples, there's no question you could use. And according to the third explanation, yeah, it would mean that Rava thought that you can't use things that are used for dessert, and we see that it's not so. You can use things that are used for dessert. The actual halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that you can even use wild apples in the end. Since we don't have a proof one way or the other to say we're just saying that you can use apples, then it means even wild apples. As long as it's edible, right? We're talking about Eruv Tchumen. According to Rashi, also Eruv Chatzeres, but all the other Rishonim disagree with that. And Shittuf Mavoyas.
And
Shittuf,
by everyone agrees, it's
Yes. Yes. Okay. Right, so Eruv Chatzeres, maybe not. Right. Okay. Vekama, so now that we established that you can use apples for an Eruv, how much do you need? Amar Rav Nachman, tapuchim bekav. You need a kav of apples. A kav is around 3 pounds. It is a lot. So the Gemara says, Mesvi, I have a contradiction. We learn in a Braisa, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, now Rav Shimon ben Elazar is not talking in connection with Eruv, he's actually talking in connection with a din involving Maisa Oni. Now you have like this, sometimes you have your Maisa Oni is in your granary, in your storage area or whatever, and the Aniyim come over there and you give out to each one. As opposed to, let's say you could have, you bring your Maisa Oni to your house and the Aniyim come to the door and you give each person who comes. So if you're giving it out to them in the garden, in the granary, then you have a minimum amount you have to give each person if you have enough. If you don't have enough, then the din is you just put, if let's say for example, we're saying over here, we're going to mention over here, let's say that you have, let's say 1 esrog per person. So let's say you have 20 aniyim and you only have 10 esrogim, then fine. You don't give each one of them a half an esrog. You put the esrogim down on the ground and they can take for themselves. But if you have enough, then you have to give each one at least 1 esrog. And so we're going to mention, Rav Shimon ben Elazar is going to give rules like that for a number of different kinds of foods. So Rav Shimon ben Elazar, uchla tavlin, when it comes to spices, you have to give them at least an uchla. Rashi defines that an uchla is 1/8 of a litra, where a litra, Rashi says, is the same as a lug. So a lug is approximately a pound or a little bit less than a pound. So an uchla would be 1/8 of that. The Rambam defines it a little bit differently. The Rambam defines that a litra is a half of a lug, and then an uchla is a quarter of that. It comes out the same thing according to both Rashi and the Rambam. It comes out that an uchla is 1/8 of a lug. So it comes out in modern terms, according to Rabbi Chaim Noah, it would be about an ounce and a half. It would be half a revius. Anyway, so you have to give them at least that amount of spice. The litra yerek, or a litra of vegetables, according to Rashi, a litra would be a lug. According to the Rambam, would be a half a lug. Of asora egoizin, or if you're giving them nuts like walnuts or whatever, it has to be at least 10. But chamisha afarsakin, peaches, it has to be 5. Or shnei rimonim, 2 pomegranates, for esrog echad, or 1 esrog. And v'oma gursak badori mishmeder menashi bar shkuvli mishmeder av v'chein la'eruv. So and Gursak Bar Dori is saying in the name of Rav Menashe Bar Shguvli, who in turn is saying in the name of Rav, V'chein La'eruv. These rules apply to an Eruv also. So all of these amounts that Rav Shimon Elazar mentioned as far as Maisa Oni, the same rules apply to an Eruv. So now the question is, so why by peaches is it enough 5 peaches? And apples, you need a kav, v'hani nami lehevo ki afarzikin. So apples should be similar to peaches in that regard. You should only need a few of them. The answer is hani chashivi, v'hani lo chashivi. The answer is peaches are something choshuv, apples are not. So therefore, so peaches, 5 of them is enough. When it comes to Maisa Oni, the expression is Vinasati la Levi la Geir la Yosem v'la Amana v'ochlu b'sharecha v'saveu. You have to give them, and they have to be full. So therefore, you have to give them enough that they can eat it with meals and be full. So when it comes to peaches or these other things, five of them is enough to eat together with 2 sudas. When it comes to apples, because they're not choshev, so again, if we're talking about wild apples. And then what we mean is wild apples are not choshuv, and therefore you need a kav of them. The implication then would be that domesticated apples, you could get away with a lot less. But actually the Mechaber brings this matter of a kav only as far as wild apples. He doesn't say what you would need for domesticated apples, which may imply that he holds less. But various Noisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch over there, the Elio Rabba and others say that no, the same din would apply to domesticated apples as well, and the Alter Rebbe brings that in the end. So in the end, if you're using apples, since we don't have clearly in the Gemara how much fewer you would need, then the halacha remains that you would need a kav of them. It could be that that's the difference, that apples are available all year and peaches are not, so therefore maybe peaches are considered more kosher. Could be.
Apples should be, because it's more available, it should be able to be used and not have to need so much.
Maybe, but on the other hand, you could argue the other way around. Because they're available all year, therefore they're like less important. The truth is, I don't know. I mean, nowadays they're available all year, but nowadays a lot of fruits are available all year. I don't know. From the olden days, apples were. Yeah. I mean, in the olden days, I don't know if apples were available all year. Yeah, but they give fruit only at certain times of the year, and unless you have a way of preserving it, then it's going to spoil. Now, apples ripen in the fall. So in the fall you're gonna have apples, and then in the spring or the summer you're not necessarily. Yeah, nowadays they freeze them or they whatever, but in the olden days they didn't have the ability to do that. Okay, I don't know. All right, onward. Okay, so we said that Gursek Bar Dori had said in the name of Rav Menashe Bar Shiguvli, in the name of Rav, that the same amounts that Rav Shimon ben Elazar had said as far as Maaser Oni also apply as far as the Eruv. So now, on that, Amar Rav Yosef, Shrolei Morei l'Rav Menashe Bar Shiguvli. May Hashem forgive Rav Menashe Bar Shiguvli for saying the wrong thing. Because I told him this statement that Rav says, that the same applies to an Eruv. I mentioned it to him in connection with a Mishnah, and he instead said it on the Braisa. Now, first, let's quote the Mishnah, and then we'll figure out, so what's Rabbi Yosef's problem with Rabbi Menashe Bar Shiguvli? So, what's the Mishnah? The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah at the end of Peah. Ein pochsin la'oni begoren mechatzi kav chitin. Again, if you're going to be giving out maaser oni to the poor people at the granary, at the storage house, then you have to give each one a minimum amount, because again, v'ochlo b'sharecha v'saveu. So if you're giving them wheat, you have to give them at least a half a kav of wheat, a kav sa'orin, or a kav of barley. Rameo o mechatzi kav. Rameo says barley, also a half a kav is enough. Chatzi kav sa'orin. V'kav v'chatzi kusmin. Continues the Mishnah, if you're giving them spelt, it has to be 1.5 kavim. Spelt is it's a grain similar, it's a grain related to wheat, but it's, I guess, nowadays they use it sometimes, let's say people who have gluten intolerance or celiac or whatever might use it for matzah, but it's less cleaned up or it's less edible or whatever it is, so you need more of it in order to feel full. Yeah, but kav gregoris, if you're giving him dried figs, you need to give him a kav. Oy monadvela. Or if you're giving him the figs pressed into a cake, then you have to give him a mona of it. Now, Rashi explains that a litra is a measure of volume. Most of the measurements we have in Shas, a lug, a kav, a saw, and so forth, are really measurements of volume. A mona is a measure of weight. Now, so why before we mentioning litra, and now we're mentioning a mona? Rashi explains, once you made them into a cake, then you don't sell them by volume anymore, then you sell it by weight. So therefore, when it comes to grogers, when it comes to loose grogers, you still sell them by volume, so therefore the Mishnah mentions a litra. But once you made them into a cake, you press them together into a cake, then already you sell pieces of it by weight, and therefore it uses the word mona, which is a weight. Okay. Rabbi Akiva says it wouldn't be a mona of cake of pressed figs, it would be a half a mona. And the Mishnah continues, v'chatzi lug yayin. If you're giving him wine, it has to be at least a half a lug. Rabbi Akiva omer revius. Rabbi Akiva says also it has to be less, just a quarter of a revius. And just a quarter of a lug. Or revius shemen, or revius of oil. Rabbi Akiva omer shminis. Again, Rabbi Akiva says only half of that, an eighth of a lug of oil. Ushar kol aperis, and then what about other kinds of fruits? What's the amount for them? Omer Abba Shol, kadesh yimkarem. There has to be. You give the poor person enough of those fruits that he can sell them. V'yikach ben mazon shtei sodas, and use it to buy food for two meals. And on that, Rabbi Yosef says, v'omer Rav v'chem la'eruv. So Rabbi Yosef says, on that, Rav had said the same applies to an eruv. So now Rabbi Yosef is upset with Rabbi Menashe Bar Shiguvli for saying that the statement of Rav actually refers to the Braisa of Rabbi Shimon Elazar. So the question is, so what's the problem? So why is one stronger than the other? What's wrong if he says it on the Braisa? The Braisa is also talking about the same kind of din. So what's the problem? So in fact, one explanation is that Rabbi Yosef's problem is just that Rabbi Menashe Bar Shiguvli said the wrong thing. If Rabbi Yosef had told him that Rav is referring to the Mishnah, then he doesn't have the right to change it and say something that's not true, that Rav was referring to the Braisa. On the other hand, Tosfos learns that what it is Rabbi Yosef didn't hear explicitly that Rav was referring to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef figured out based on a consideration that the Gemara is going to mention that Rabbi Yosef must have been referring to the Mishnah, and therefore now he's upset at Rabbi Menashe for instead referring it to the Braisa, which is not correct. So not just the fact that Rav didn't actually say it on the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef himself doesn't know for a fact that Rav said it on the Mishnah, but he deduced it based on something that we're going to say in the Gemara, and therefore he's upset with Rabbi Menashe for misunderstanding that and instead referring it to the Braisa. So the question is, why is the Mishnah any stronger than the Braisa, that Rabbi Yosef figures that Rav's statement must have been about the Mishnah rather than about the Braisa? My Omer Dehai Mehach. Tavlin. Are you going to say because Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's Braisa refers to spices, the Tavlin Lavne Achilininu, and you're going to say spices can't be eaten by themselves, so you shouldn't be able to make an Eruv with them. So you can't say a blanket statement that everything that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar mentioned could be used for an Eruv, because that wouldn't be correct. But in that case, so what? So what? The Mishnah also mentions wheat and barley. You can't eat wheat and barley by themselves either. And yet the Mishnah has mentioned them. And if Rabbi Yosef is saying that Rav's statement referred to that Mishnah, then you'd also have, obviously, in other words, the point is, whether it's referring to the Mishnah or the Braisa, either way, you have things listed that you can't use for an Eruv because you can't eat them as is. Spices in the Braisa, wheat and barley in the Mishnah. So that's not a reason to say so sharply about Rabbi Menashe bar Shguvli, may Hashem forgive him for saying the wrong thing. The reason is because the Mishnah had mentioned a half a log of wine, according to the Chachamim, that you have to give the poor person. The Amar Rav Ma'arvin B'Shtei Revi Yisro Yayin. Rav says that you have to make that to make an Eruv, you need two revias of wine, which implies, now two revias equals half a log. But the point is, why did Rav have to stress that point? Why did he have to Davka stress two revias of wine, which equals a half a log, midba'inen kolahai, since you were saying you need that much wine, shmamina ki amar rab, v'chein la'eru, v'homas nesen ka'amar. That shows that when Rab said v'chein la'eru, he must have been referring to this Mishnah, and he wanted to stress that you shouldn't think that it can't possibly be right. Why would you need two revias of wine? And why would you need a half a log of wine? Mela, in other words, for the poor person, for v'achla b'sharecha v'sabeu, but for an eruv, why would you need that much? So therefore, he has to stress in connection with the Mishnah that no, the amount is the same for an Eruv. So for the Eruv, you need mazon shtei sodas, and because you drink a revius with each meal, therefore you need two, yeah. Okay. So that's what we're going to discuss soon, whether we're talking with the water or without the water. Yeah, good point. So Amamar, over mazon shtei sodas la'eruv. Now, we said that various kinds of foods combine together to make up the two sodas for an eruv. Savar Rabbi Yosef Lamema said Rabbi Yosef thought to say ad deikas soda mehai or soda mehai. Rabbi Yosef thought to say, okay, it doesn't mean that you can have a little bit of one food and a little of the other. It means you have to have one soda's worth of one kind of food, and then you can have the second soda can be of a different food, but you can't just mix together a whole bunch of different kinds of food. But Rabbah tells him that no, you could even have each food could consist of a half or a third or a quarter of the soda. You can have that each individual soda can be made up of many different kinds of foods. You can have a little bit of something and a little bit of something else and whatever, as long as it adds up to mazon shtei sodas. Gufa. Getting back to, we said Amar Rab Ma'arvin B'Shtei Revias Choyayin. We said that you can make an Eruv with two Revias of wine. So now you mentioned about the question of the water or not. That we're going to take up on Amar Beis. But first we have to figure out Umi Ba'inen Kulahai. Why would you need that much wine for an Eruv Chatzeres, for an Eruv Tchumen rather? V'atani Reb Shimon Alazar Yayin Kedei Lechaboy. Wine, you only need the amount that you would eat with it, meaning that you would dip the bread of two sodas into the wine, which is a lot less than two revias. Chometz kedei l'tabalboy. Similarly, vinegar, if you're going to use it for an eruv tchumen, you need enough to be able to dip bread into. Uvetzalim kedei l'tabalboy zesim. So enough to be able to dip olives into to eat them. Uvetzalim kedei lechem and shtei sodas. And when it comes to onions, you need enough onions that you would be able to eat with two sodas. So we see that wine, you only need enough to be able to dip the bread of two sodas in, which is less than two revias. So why is Rav saying two revias? The answer is hosam b'chamra mevashla. That's talking about cooked wine. So cooked wine is not as choshev anymore. You only use it to dip your bread into. Therefore, the shiur is based on that. But when you're talking about uncooked wine, then it's more choshev to drink. So then we go according to the shiur that it takes to drink it. Then you need two revias of it. No. Cooked means exactly what it sounds like. Like when we have nowadays, yain mevushal, which then a goy can touch. That's what we mean, yeah. Nowadays, most wine, you actually have a machloikas, a poskim achronim, whether they pasteurize wine nowadays, is that hard enough to make it yain mevushal or not? Ramosha holds that pasteurization is generally enough to get it to be yain mevushal, and when you have most wines are labeled yain mevushal, then that's based on that. You have the Tselema Rav held that it has to be a higher temperature. According to him, many of the wines that we consider mevushal might not be. But in the times of the Gemara, anyway, they didn't have pasteurization. They were just, if they're going to cook wine, it would just be on an open fire, and it changes the taste and it changes the texture and whatever. And therefore, when they pasteurize it, yeah, they do it under lower pressure. Yeah.
So they get it to a lower. They increase the pressure.
And therefore it boils at a lower. Yeah, whatever it is. The point is that if they pasteurized the wine at regular pressure at sea level, then it would only boil at 212 or close to it. Because they do it under, I think it's under lower pressure. I don't remember. Then therefore it boils at a lower point. It boils at about 170 degrees. So is that considered bishul or not? Yeah.
Okay.
So we said that if you're using vinegar, it has to be enough to dip in it. So actually, I said it a little wrong. Actually, I said zaysim refers to the next thing. If you're going to use zaysim over tzalim, so chometz is gedele tavaboy is enough to dip your bread in it. Zaysim over tzalim, if you're going to use olives or onions, then you need enough to eat with two meals. So okay, chometz gedele tavaboy, right. So Amr of Gido Amr of Kedele Tavaboy Mozen Shtei Sodas Shor Yerek. What it means with vinegar is, if you have enough vinegar to dip into it two meals worth of vegetables. So in other words, the idea is you're not necessarily dipping your bread in vinegar. For that, you would use, for example, cooked wine. You're using the vinegar to dip vegetables that you're eating together with two sodas. Ikadamri Amr of Gidol Amarav Yera Kanechol B'Shtei Sodas. Another version is Rav Gidol Amarav says the vegetables that are eaten as part of two sodas. The first lotion is you're talking about, let's say you're making a meal of only vegetables and you would dip them in vinegar. The second version is you're eating a meal of bread. Together with the bread, you're eating some vegetables, and you dip the vegetables in vinegar. So, of course, according to that second one, it comes out to a much smaller amount because you eat a lot less vegetables when you're eating together with bread than you would if you were just making a meal of vegetables themselves. Okay. Then we said, we said if you're using olives or onions, then you need enough to eat two sodas with. So the question is, are you b'chlal allowed to use onions for an eruv? V'hatanya, Amar Rav Shimon Elazar, pam achas shabbos Rav Meir ba'Audiska. One time Rav Meir spent Shabbos in Audiska, the name of a place. Uba adam echad lefanav, a certain person came to see Rav Meir. Amalai, he says, Rebbe, a ravti b'vitzolim lativin, I made an eruv tchumen with onions to be able to go to Tivin. And Audiska, where a mayor was for Shabbos, is on the way. So I put an eruv tchumen 2,000 amos away from my home in some other city with the intention of walking all the way to Tivin, which is going to be now within 4,000 amos. And Audiska is on the way. So Audiska is outside his original tchum, but it's within the tchum of his eruv tchumen. However, Rav Meir made him sit within his four amas because, in other words, he's saying to him, you didn't have a valid eruv. And if you don't have a valid eruv tchumen and you go outside of your tchum, the din is, we're going to learn in the next parak, you're only able to move within your four amas. So therefore, Rav Meir, in other words, in effect, is telling the guy, you didn't make a valid eruv tchumen, so therefore you're outside your tchum and you have to stay within the four amas for the rest of Shabbos. Tosfos actually discusses over here a couple of possibilities. One, now, we have a din, we're going to learn in the next perek, that if a person mistakenly went outside the tchum and wound up in another city, then he's able to walk in that entire city because the city itself is counted like four amas. So why over here is your mayor making him stay within four amas? So one possibility is Tosfos says it wasn't in Audiska itself. It may have been right outside the city. So when we say the mayor spent Shabbos in our diska, we don't mean when this guy came to him, he wasn't necessarily in the city itself. He was right outside it, within the tchum. Lavdavka, it could be he was sitting out in the field. I don't know. Anyway, so that's one possibility. Another possibility, Tosfos says, is Rabbi Yeshua says over there that no, even if a person went outside the tchum there by mistake, he still gets only 4 amas. So the mayor may have held that way. Okay. Anyway, so the point is that we see the mayor is saying you can't use onions because therefore he's saying you didn't have a valid eid of tumen. So the answer is like kasha haba olim haba imahois. There's a difference whether you're using the onion leaves or whether you're using the onion. It's the onion bulb itself. The onion leaves are edible, and there are varieties of onions. Think of like you buy in the store scallions. There's a tiny bulb, and then you have long leaves growing out of it. But here, Bapashtus, we're talking about regular onions also produce leaves. The leaves themselves are edible, but they're not really very good for you, and therefore, so therefore, the mayor is saying you can't use those for an eruv. Yeah. So on the other hand, if you're talking about using the onion bulb, then that would be fine. That would be what Rav is saying, that you can use onions that you can use onions for your eruv. Okay. Yeah. So for the onion, it doesn't have to be food that's ready to eat, right? That's, we said wheat or barley, for example, we said are not ready to eat, right? Right, but on the other hand, when it comes to an eruv, it has to be food that's ready to eat now, right? Okay, so d'tanya, as in fact, we learn in a b'raisa about the difference between the onion bulb and the onion leaves. Ochal botzel v'hishkim omes, if a person ate onions and then he woke up the next morning and died right away, ein omim imames, you don't have to ask what killed him, because you know the onion must have killed him. And Shmuel says that that's only talking about the leaves. The bulb, there's no problem. The bulb is okay to eat. It's the leaves that are no good for you. And even when it comes to the leaves, when we're saying they're dangerous, it's only if they didn't grow a zeres in length. A zeres is a half an amma. So if the leaves have not yet grown to the length of a half an amma, then they're dangerous. Then they have this constant, you know, you have the stuff in onions that makes you cry. You also have it in very concentrated form in the leaves, and therefore it's bad. And therefore it's bad for you. But if the leaves have grown to a zeres, if they grew to the length of a zeres, less than ba, then there's no problem with it, and then you're able to eat them, and it won't be harmful. Amar Papa, so the Papa says, furthermore, here is a further condition on this that we're saying that onion leaves are dangerous. That also only applies if the person didn't drink beer. But if you drank beer, then there's no problem, because the beer helps counteract the effect of the leaves. So the Gemara continues in this connection. Tana Rabbanan, lo yoichel adam batzel. A person should not eat a raw onion, mipnei nachash shaboy, because of the nachash in it. Rashi explains that the nachash means, again, this sharp stuff in the onion, the stuff that makes you cry. It's called eres. It's called poison. So it can be harmful to you. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chananel. No, what it means is if you open up an onion, you have the little part, you have the onion is made of layers on top of layers, and in the middle of there, you have this sort of like stem thing in the middle, which is where eventually when the onion matures, the seeds grow in there. So that part is called the nachash. So you shouldn't eat the onion because the nachash particularly is dangerous. It's inside the onion bulb itself. You have like the central stem sort of, and then you have a layer of the onion and another layer of the onion and so forth. Yeah. It happened once that Rav Chanina ate half an onion, and together with it he ate half of the nachash. So according to Rashi, what does it mean? If he ate the onion, of course he ate half the nachash, because the nachash according to Rashi is the sharpness of the onion. That's why Tosfos prefers Rabbeinu Chananel's explanation that we mean that central part of the onion. It's possible to eat the onion without eating that. In this case, Rav Chanina actually ate that as well. V'chola, so he became sick, but not the lomos, and he was close to death. Ubikshu chaverim rachmim ola v'choya. His chaverim, the other chachamim, davened for him, and he survived. Mipnei shashat tzrichaloi, because the time needed him. In other words, because he was one of the great chachamim, and they needed him. Now, what do you mean? Should they not daven for him? If not, if ain't shashat tzrichaloi. So the Ritva explains, because after all, he put himself in danger. We just said the chachamim said lo yoichal adam batzim mipnei nachash tabay. He went against that. He went against divrei chachamim. So maybe we should have taken the view. You know what? Then fine. It's his fault. And maybe we shouldn't daven for him. But because Ashar Tzrichaloi, because they needed him so much as one of the Chachamim, therefore they daven for him. Reb Tavfin lay down, and they told him that Kedai Havisalach Batzmacha. I guess it's a somewhat similar thing. Yeah, the Maushar over here gives a different explanation. This Reb Chanina over here is Reb Chanina ben Dosa. Usually, we know Reb Chanina ben Dosa is the famous one who davened for everybody else, and his tefillos were accepted. But here, he himself was sick, and we know a concept called Ein Chovosh Matar Atzim Veisasurim. The person in jail can't get himself out of jail. Therefore, his chaverim had to daven for him. It was their turn to daven for him because he wasn't able to daven for himself, right? Okay. All right. More on the topic of what you're allowed and not allowed to use for an Eruv. Amr Abzeda Amr Shmuel, Shechar, Beer, Ma'arvinba, you're able to make an Eruv Tchumen with beer. Upoisel, Samikvah, Beshloishas Lugin. And by the way, here's another din about beer, that if three Lugim of it fall into a mikvah of less than 40 saw, it will make it possible. We know a concept, we learn it in the Mishnayas, Yesh Malanas a mikvah for a yod site and whatever, that if you have a mikvah less than 40 saw, and three lugim of mayim shovim fall into it, then it passels it, and you have to drain the entire mikveh, and only then refill it. So Reb Zera wants us to know that beer has the same din, because beer is basically just water with flavoring in it. So maskiflor of Kahana, sort of Kahana says pshita. Of course, beer would passel a mikveh. V'chim ma ben zela meit seba. Why would it be any different than dye water, water that you have dye mixed into it? And that also, detnan, we learn in the Mishnah over there. Rabbi Yossi meit seba posan as a mikveh b'shloisha slogan. That Rabbi Yossi says in the Mishnayos over there that dye water passels the mikveh if three lugim of it fall into the mikveh. Now, what we have to realize, in other words, is there's two different ways in which liquids can passel a mikveh. You can have where they're considered water, and then the shear is three lugim. You can also have a different din when, for example, juice falls into a mikveh. So three lugim of juice are not going to passel a mikveh because they're not water. But on the other hand, if they're enough to discolor the water, then they passel it. So there it doesn't depend on three lugim. There it depends on the concentration of the juice that fell in or whatever. So we have Rabbi Yechin Manuri over there in the Mishnayah says Akola Lachacha Amara. That's a specific case over there. That's when you have part of the three lugim is made up of a different liquid like milk. That's a special case. But in general, Rabbi Yossi says that dye water passels the mikveh with three lugim. And the Mishnah continues, Ve'en posanosa b'shinei mara. Meaning, in other words, we don't care if the dye in it discolors the water. That's not going to be a reason to passel the mikveh because there's not really mamoshus of the dye in the water. It's just the color. But it's going to be considered water, and therefore the three lugim rule applies. So if that applies to dye water, how much more so it should apply to beer? So what's the chiddush? The answer is Amri. The answer is Hosa Maya Detziver Mikri. Because you have to look at the terminology. Mei Tseva is called that. Mei Tseva, it's called dye water. So therefore, it's people call it water. So therefore, it's logical that it should have the dinim of water for that purpose. Hocha Shichra Ikri. On the other hand, here, we don't call it water. We call it beer. So you would think that maybe it's not considered water as far as these dinim. And therefore, Reb Zeder wants us to know that it still is considered water. Well, it means that you need three lugim of it. It means that even if it discolors the water, then we don't care about it. But if you have three lugim of it in the mikveh, right. Another difference is, by the way, the discoloration issue would apply whether the mikveh is 40 saw or whether it's less than 40 saw. Either way, if it's discolored, it's possible. If we say the problem is three lugim, then that would apply only if the mikveh is below 40 saw. Once the mikveh is 40 saw, you can pour in three lugim. I am sure of them, and there's no problem. Okay. Over Kama Ma'arvin, so now the question is, okay, so if you can use beer for an Eruv Tchumen, how much of it do you need? Savar of Acha, Breder of Yosef, Kameder of Yosef, Lameimar, sort of Acha, the son of Rabbi Yosef, in front of Rabbi Yosef, who was his father, thought to explain, Betrein Rivi Shichra. Maybe what you need is two lugim of beer. A lug is called a riva because it's a quarter of a calf. So you would need then two lugim of beer, he thought to say. What's the logic? Now the logic is like this. We learn in a Mishnah in Shabbos, Hamotzi Yayin Kedei Mezigas HaKodesh. If a person carries out each kind of food or object that a person carries out on Shabbos, we learn in the Mishnayos and Shabbos, there's a certain minimum shear of that item which is considered useful on a regular basis, and therefore only if a person carries out that amount as he chayev chata, so skila or what have you, as opposed to if it was less than that, it's only osir midrabanan. So we say that if he carries out wine, then the amount he has to be chayev for is kedei mezigas hakois, the amount it would take to mix a cup of wine. So we learn in a braise it means enough to mix a good cup, the kind that you're going to use, for example, for kiddush or for other things where you need wine. My kois yofa koistra bracha. That means the koistra bracha for kiddush or benching or whatever. The amar of Nachman, amar of Avavua, koistra bracha tzorach sheheba roiver revius. The koistra bracha has to have in it a quarter of a revius. Kadeshim is again over yamad al revius. So that when you dilute it with water, then you have a revius. Now Rashi over here learns that what it means is like this. Again, we said a lug itself is called a roiva because one quarter of a kav. So Rashi over here learns that it means you need to have one full revius of raw wine, so that when you dilute it with three parts water, you're going to have one full lug of drinkable wine. Now Tosfos over here explains that no, because you don't need a full lug for a kosher bracha, you only need a revius. So Tosfos learns that it means actually you need the amount of raw wine would be a quarter of a revius. So revius, according to Rav Avraham Chaim Noah, is about 3 ounces. So according to Rashi, you would be chayev on Shabbos only if you carried 3 ounces of wine. According to Tosfos, if you carry about 3/4 of an ounce of wine, and then if you were to dilute that with water, then you would get 3 ounces of drinkable wine, which would be a revius. Rashi himself, by the way, in Eruvin, actually explains like Tosfos does over here. And Rashi over there says, in fact, it's a mistake to explain the way he explains it over here. So why does Rashi change his mind? Okay, it's the one. A couple of Achronim explained because over here we're talking according to Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef over there in the Gemara and Shabbos has a different understanding of the Mishnah over there. So therefore, Rashi over there is explaining according to the Shitta of Abaya and Rava that it talks about over there in the Gemara, whereas here he's talking according to Rabbi Yosef. Anyway, the point is, so what's the point? Now, why do you need three parts water of a chidur Rava? Like Rava says, the Amar Rava, kol chamra delay dori al chad plasmaya, wine that is not diluted with three parts water, lav chamra, who is not considered wine, so you need three times as much wine as water. Now, so that's as far as wine. So again, according to Rashi, you need a revius, and according to Tosfos, you need a quarter of a revius. Now, v'toni Allah, then we can, v'katoni sefer, then the Mishnah continues over there, u'sh'ar kol ha'mashkin b'revius, all other liquids, you need a revius in order to be chayev for carrying on Shabbos, v'chol ha'shevchen b'revius, and all kinds of waste water, also dirty water or whatever, you also need a revius in order to be chayev. The point being that midah hasam al chad arba, so we see that the shear for other kinds of liquids, for example, which includes beer, is 4 times as much as for wine, because for wine you need a revius, and for all the other ones you need, according to Rashi, you need a full log, or according to Tosfos, for wine you need a quarter of a revius, and for all the other ones you need a revius, so it's 4 times as much. Therefore, hachanami al chad arba. So the logic is, we said on Amud Aleph that wine you need for an eid of chatzeh, for an eid of tchumen, you need 2 revius, a half a log. So therefore, the logic is, beer, you need 4 times as much, and you'd wind up with 2 logging. But the Gemara says, v'loyi, that's not correct. The difference is, hosam, who the reason why by Shabbos, you're only chayev for carrying a revius of other kinds of drinks, debatzimihachi loy choshev, because less than that is not choshev, and on Shabbos, you're only chayev for carrying something that's choshev, unless you yourself decided that this was more important to you, called achshavei. But otherwise, less than that, wouldn't be significant. What? Achshavei means you made it choshev, right? Aval hocha loy, but over here, you don't need as much. Davidi inshu, deshosu, it's common enough that people drink a cup of beer in the morning and a cup of beer at night, the samchi ilabayu, and that's good enough for them for the day. So therefore, all you need is 2 cups, 2 revius of beer. You don't need 2 lugim, all you need is 2 revius. Okay. And to be continued tomorrow, Baz Hashem. Shkayach.